Amen. Well, it's come time for Brother Dana Williams to come around. If you were not here Monday morning, you need to listen to that. You need to get a CD or go on the website, bring it up. It'll help you. It'll encourage you. And it'll challenge you. We love this man of God. Glad he's here. You hear him while he preaches. Amen.
Turn to the book of Ruth, chapter 2. We'll read one verse there. Appreciate the good service thus far. And this is just Wednesday. I tell some of these folks before I got saved, I didn't have any religion, none. I ain't got a lot now. So I won't hold you long. We cleared up some things the other morning about this diabetes. We don't have diabetes. Me and Steve don't. But I got to thinking, did you hear that Charles and Diane might have diabetes? I didn't either. But one of the signs is you don't ever gain weight. They don't ever gain weight. So we're talking to the folks over at the kitchen to keep those pies and cakes away from y'all, because we don't want something to happen and then it fall back on camp meeting. So that's the way that's going. Some have been talking about age, and I just, you know, not far from 70, 69 years old. I know I don't look it.
Come on, brother.
Thank you.
Yep.
But I asked my wife, I said, now that I'm getting, you know, of age, should I present myself a little different to the congregations? And she said, yeah, probably. I said, well, what do I do? She said, well, don't joke so much and try to be witty and don't act intelligent and smart. I said, well, how do you want me to act? She said, just be yourself. So I'm going to try to be myself. I want us to look here in chapter number 2. We got several of her kinfolk that are with us today. We appreciate Of course, Josh. We get Josh out here. His mom and dad, and aunts, and uncles. I love it when family shows up. I love to preach to sinners. I know my family, and they know me. We all need it. No, we love them. Appreciate them coming this way and being with us. I want to read verse number 3. We're emphasizing the goings and comings, went and came in the scriptures. Over 200 verses carry those same two words, dealing with the journeys and travelings of life. What we realize is that's still true to us today. We move from dust to dust. We go and we come. The Bible said about Abraham, he went and then he came. Talked about the children of Israel several times in the wilderness. They went and they came. Jonah, the Bible said, he went and he came. If you'll read the prodigal son, the Bible said he went and he came. And Jesus, John chapter number 6, the Bible said he came And Acts chapter number 1 said he went back to heaven. The goings and comings in the midst of that, of course, we saw work expectations as far as the Lord is concerned on Monday. But I want us to look here in verse number 3. And I want us to notice the goings and comings that brought this young Moabitish girl to her hap with God. Look at it, if you will. The Bible said she went and she came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, whom we know to be her redeemer, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. She had a hap with God. I would ask you this morning in the beginning, have you ever had a hap with God? Now, to some, that word hap means good fortune. Or they would say, well, wasn't she lucky on that day? Or they might even describe it as those in the Middle East, it's sort of a karma, or it was by chance. But you and I know that that word hap deals with the providence of God.
Yes, sir.
The hand of God that works in the glove of humanity. It's an old English word that means simply happenings, things that happen. And here we notice in her life, in her journeys, as she went and came, she came face to face with God, and it happened.
Amen.
And it happened.
Yes, sir.
I simply want to magnify this word hap. Or as we would call it, God's providence, the hand of God and the glove of humanity, and how God brought her there as she went and came. And isn't that your testimony in salvation? In the goings and comings of life, God showed up. I'm glad that he did. But let me just break it down with a few thoughts. We'll just take a moment, as I say. First of all, I would point out to you, in the goings and comings to this place of a hap for Ruth, it is very evident that she didn't even know she was having a hap until the hap happened. It was unpredictable, unplanned, an undetermined course of action. No one had suggested or even implied that she was going to land on this spot that was going to mean so much for time and all of eternity. Even Boaz himself was unaware of it. Could we interview this young lady and ask her in coming days after the unfolding of this hap, what in the world caused you to choose the part of the field that belonged unto Boaz? I think she would say, as all of us have probably said concerning the haps of God in our lives, well, I really can't tell you. There were probably some human effects that were taking place there that maybe drew her attention, but it just seemed natural to her. Isn't that the way life is? It was natural processes that brought me to an eternal word.
Amen.
And the hap in God. And she might have said, well, you know, I hadn't thought about that, but it might have been the honeysuckle I smelled along the fence line. I love honeysuckle. It just drew me in that direction. Or she might have said, I heard the birds singing in that field. Or it seemed like the servants that were in that section were so pleasant. I really don't know. I just was pulled in that direction. Didn't know I was having a hap until the hap happened. I did not know on that little alley between 46th and 7th Street, Clark and Train. I just left playing basketball at the school there in Cleveland, Ohio. On a Sunday afternoon, I'd actually went to church the third time that I'd ever been in church on a Sunday morning. I heard the same gospel preached all three times, but it didn't affect me. I wasn't against it. I wasn't for it. It just didn't say nothing. And the last time I left the church, somebody asked me, how did you enjoy it? I said, well, it's all right for them, but it's just not me. I had other brothers much older than me, and I was following in their footsteps, and I couldn't wait to get back with them. But yet that afternoon, as I was walking back from that school after playing ball in that little old alley, I had no idea that heaven was going to touch earth in the spot that it did. And there the Lord Jesus showed up, took what had been put in my head and brought it down to my heart. Amen. Saturated it with the spirit of his love, and thank God it happened. Amen. You say, how important was that happening? Well, it was almost 55 years ago. And thank God it's still alive in my heart. And all of you could give your testimony as to this hat. But you'd all say, I didn't know where and when it was going to happen until it happened. That's the providence of God in the goings of comings of life, that somewhere it happened at some time. The second thing that I would emphasize as I meditated on this, she didn't know the hap was going to happen until it happened. But once it happened, she realized it didn't just happen. That it had been happening all along. As she looked back over her life, her family, her raising, her genealogy, all the events that we know about in chapter number 1 of the book of Ruth, and then all that we know about her nation and all the way back to Lot, and her being born in this society and being raised there, and the venturing down of Elimelech and Naomi, and the marrying of one of those sons, and then the funeral and the death and the devastation. What she realizes on this day, once it happened, that God had been working in this direction all along. She didn't know she's having a hap till it happened, but once it happened, she realized it had been happening. God had brought her to this place. Also realizing that once it happened, it would never stop happening. It just seemed as though throughout the book of Ruth that God just kept on happening all the way. And as a matter of fact, what happened in that day, the results of it, is still happening today. And will continue to happen. She realized she had had a hap. And that it had been happening. God had brought her to that place. You realize in your life, whether you were raised in a Christian home or in a home where there was no gospel, that once you got saved, you look back and see the intricate details and realize that it took every bit of that to get you to where you are. And I've preached enough about my life and my past experiences and how I was raised. But as I studied them over the years and look back over them, I need no psychologist to sit down and try to explain something. Or some kind of a medicine to get over it. As a matter of fact, my heart embraces every bit of it. Because I realize that all of that was used of God to get me to where I could have had the help. I was with my father the night he went into DT's. He and I alone. I remember him taking a meat fork, two prong, and putting it in his throat and blood just running down. And long story short, God, they got him to a mental institution, spent some time there. But in the process, I was 13 years old, had already quit school. I hadn't been to school in months. Had a brother lived in Cleveland, Ohio, 13 years older than I was, lost, a drunkard himself, but he and his little wife said, we're going to go to West Virginia and get Dana, bring him back, make him go back to school. And so I had no place to go, no food or anything else as far as home. He was the only one there. And so I loaded up and went with him. Had no choice. First thing they did is they rented a little old apartment over top of some very strange people. They called themselves Christians. My sister-in-law shares the story of how that this lady who lived downstairs, whose name happens to be Grace, still alive to this day, came up the steps, and Sandy says she knocked on the door, said, I opened the door, and tears went in her eyes. And she said, what's wrong? What's happened? She said, well, I've been watching you and your little family, and said, I'm afraid that you're going to die without Christ and go to hell, and I want you to come and go to church with me. Amen. She went to church with her and got born again. Yeah. I was playing cards with my older brothers the day she came home after being baptized. And of course, they made fun of her. But it wasn't about 2 months later that my brother got saved. Now, I tell you how I knew something was different. We were riding down the road on Sunday afternoon. Our first language was foul language. We didn't have a mother in the home. Never had a mother in my home. Left at a year and a half old. Drunken and all that other stuff. And we was riding down the road. I didn't realize I was saying anything foul. And he looked at me and he said, now, Dana, I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't use that language around me anymore. I said, well, Joe, you were using it yesterday. He said, but I got saved today. And through that process, of course, as I've already told you, I went to the house of God, and then in that little alley, the hap happened. But once the hap happened, and I look back over my raising, if I could go back there and change a day of it or an event of it, I wouldn't touch it, because I realized through the hap it had been happening, and it's given me the thrill to know that it'll never stop happening. It just keeps on happening. As a matter of fact, your hap will become the answer to your past, the hope of your future, and the sustenance of your presence. It's all in the hope. I don't need somebody to sit down and try to explain everything about my past. It's settled in the hap. She didn't know she's having a hap till the hap happened. But once it happened, she realized it'd been happening, never would quit happening. But did you notice how the scripture worded that? The Bible said, and I'm going to have to borrow some more water, very explicitly that it was her hat.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, go ahead,
No hap like your hap. And aren't we thankful for the testimony of everybody that's had a hap? But you can read the whole Bible through, and there's no other hap in the Bible like her hap. And no matter how many would testify here this morning about their experience with the Lord, nobody would have a hap, as Brother Steve has emphasized, just like your hap. But do you realize how important a hap is? I mean, a meeting with God Almighty, not just for you, but for time and all eternity. One single hap and all that unfolds and entails, that one hap with God. Wow! As a matter of fact, everything, listen to what I'm telling you, that God had ever done all the way back into eternity, and everything that God would ever do on into eternity flowed right through verse number 3 and that hap. You say, well, I don't think one hap's that important. Well, I challenge you, take that hap out of the scriptures. You take Ruth's hap out of the scriptures, you can shut this book down completely. Past, present, and future. Because God and everything he was doing connected to verse number 3, where she had that happen, flowed out of that, and everything he would ever do after verse number 3 came out of that hat. And understand, God's not just fiddling around in his happenings. He's not just fooling around in his happiness. Every one of his haps has a purpose. And it is brought together in the completion of everything he's going to accomplish. So that just as important as this hap was to the complete plan of God, you can't leave any hap out. If you have, you disconnected the thing. And it thrills my heart and soul to know how important the hap was that I had with God to the completion of the work of God. Flowing from eternity to eternity in the very workings of God, he came right through my heart, and I had that hap, thank God, that's going to bring it all together, and it couldn't be all together unless I was in the hap. It was her hap. But oh, it touched so many others. It's out of her hat that there is a Obed, there is a Jesse, there is a David, there is a Jesus, and there is a you. If she hadn't had her hat, you wouldn't happen to be here. You know why you happen to be here? Because she had her. A part of that great overseeing work of God is your hap and my hap. Because it's your hap and my hap that God uses to touch other lives so that they have a happening. It's all brought together in the providence hand of God, in the glove of humanity, in the happenings. And I'm telling you, God's still happening somewhere. She didn't know she had it till she had it. Once she had it, she realized it always been happening and always would happen. And God flowed right through that hap. But it was her hap. And the reason why we come together this morning and rejoice and sing and shout is because we individually have had a hap. A couple other things I emphasize, I would. If you looked over and took the time to read chapter 4, verse 13 on down, feel that text and get that setting, you realize that if you had a hap, one of the things it's going to do to you is make you happy. Now you read down through there and look at it. Verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth. She was his wife. When he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception. She bare a son. Now don't that make you happy? The woman said unto Naomi, the women, blessed be the Lord. They're happy, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. He shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, a nourisher of thine own age. Thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born unto Naomi. And they called his name Obed, and on through to David, and on through to this day. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people happy because she had a hat. Esther and I traveled up into the New England state several years ago, and while we were up there for 12 days, the thing that I noticed that was so eerie is, and I said to her, I said, it's so strange. She said, well, what is it? I said, well, we've been up here 12 days. I don't hardly think I've heard a giggle out of anybody, not a chuckle, no laughter. And as I pondered that, I realized that in the North East as well as out west, as they tell us about religious traditions or however they look at it, that there are more atheists in that part of the country than anywhere else, and more evolutionists in that. And if you ride up through there, you'll find out there are very few churches. And many, if they were churches, are turned into other types of businesses. I remember speaking to one gentleman. I said to him, do you know the Lord Jesus? And he said to me, well, when I was in the university, I read two books thinking I might run into somebody like you someday. And that was his extent of what he knew. And here was my conclusion. If you didn't believe you had any reason for being born into this world, and you got no purpose for being in this world, and no hope of going anywhere when you leave this world, what have you got to be happy about? But oh, if you've had a hap with an eternal God that has put an eternal spirit in you, and you know that you've got eternity to live, you can be happy. And there's so many things to be happy about. I thought about here in these places when we all get together. You can't get together with a bunch of Baptists. They're just laughing and making fun of one another and having a big time. It don't make no difference. At my house, we get together in November. There's usually about 27 of us, and somebody will invite a guest or something every now and then. We hesitate on that because of the way we act. You know, we don't want to offend one of us. But here's the saying, if you come and visit us and we're real nice to you, don't go back because we don't like you. Amen. We're going to have to find something to make fun of. It's either your nose, your eyes, your hair, whatever it is, we're going to have, but I'm going to tell you, it's just the nature of people who've had a hap with God to rejoice and be happy about life in general. Amen. She's happy. They're happy. Amen. She's had a hat. Now she realizes it's been happening and never stopped happening. Man, it's her happening. She's happy. She's happy. But you know that every happening of God has one purpose and one alone. And that is to take you to Christ. Amen. The hap that she had leads us all right to Christ. Amen. He is the pivot point of every happening. She had a hap. Did I ask you, have you had a hap? Now, let's close like this. I want to interview her. Supposing that I didn't know about her life, her details, or anything of it. And I want to know how, by now, an elderly woman, how in the world did she get all of this land? How did she become so prominent in the circles and the families? I mean, I even hear she's kin to the king. How did that happen? And you would ask her, you would say to her, now, Ms. Ruth, how in the world did this come about? And she'd say, well, I don't know if I can give it to you in detail, but short story was, I happened to be born in Moab. And believe it or not, God showed up. It just happened. She said, I happened to end up in Bethlehem. The way the processes of it was, the way it unfolded, I didn't understand all of it. I didn't know what's coming out. I just happened to one day be in Bethlehem. I happened to be in a foreign country for the first time in my life. And I mean a country that that has hated our people. I don't know how it happened. I just happened to be in Bethlehem.
Amen.
But in Moab, God showed up. And in Bethlehem, grace showed up. I just happened to be in Bethlehem, and for the first time, I experienced grace. I can't explain it to you, as the old fella said, but thank God for the day that God showed up and grace showed up. Say, what happened? It just happened. In the midst of everything, it happened. And she said, beyond that, I just happened to go out in the field one day. I was instructed to this and said I laid down at a man's feet that I was told was the Redeemer.
Amen.
I don't know what's going to come out of that. That's just where they happened to tell me to go, and that's where I went.
Amen.
But she said right there at his feet, she said, I'd not only found God, I happened to find God in Moab, happened to find God, a grace in Bethlehem. Said, while I was laying at his feet, I happened to hear the gospel that God knows.
Amen.
Said he preached to me. Didn't he? He said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, then I'm going to tell you what you need to do. And she went back and told her mama, said, I just heard the gospel, the good news. Told me what he's going to do. Said he's going to go settle it, and he's going to redeem me. And he told me, just stay out of the way. Go somewhere and rest. It just happened. And she said, then it all happened up at a gate somewhere.
Amen.
It all happened at a gate somewhere.
Amen.
And as a result of it, I got everything.
It.
You ask me how I got it all?
Amen.
Why, has this all happened up at a gate?
Amen.
Said he went up there and settled it all. Next thing I know, he came down off the mountain waving a shoe. And said, you're mine, I'm yours. She said, hallelujah. I didn't realize all that was going to come out of one hand. born in poverty, born of a drunkard, born in devil. I feel like today I got it all. It happened. It happened. It happened. And it keeps on happening. And I'm excited about the happening. And as you look back over your life, you can see the happenings. Not good luck. I don't feel lucky. Not good fortune. Certainly not karma. The hand of God brought a hat. That put it all together. The Bible said she went and she came and her hat. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
For the goings and comings that happened,
amen,
happened,
amen,
to bring you to God. That affects time, her time, and all time, even into eternity. If you ever have a hap, everything's going to change.